All right, guys, on this episode, we have a Select Few Clothing. Is that the company name?
Yes. A Select Few Goods and Services.
Okay, so that's the legal name, a Select Few Goods that's and Services. Right, yeah. So with us, we have Money, who is the founder, and Gagan, who is, creative director? Marketing?
I'm the head of marketing and e-commerce.
Head of marketing and e-commerce. Got it. So how did you guys start? What was the inspiration behind the clothing, well, getting into the clothing business?
Well, I was always fascinated by clothing and how you can express yourself through just like, you know, the garments you wear tell a lot about you. So I was always kind of, the fascination was always there. How a Select Few came together was a bit more, you know, it was a gradual process because I never formally studied fashion. But I saw there's a lack of representation in the South Asian community. But I did see a lot of, I don't want to say trendy kind of South Asian inspired designs, but I just felt they were represented by the South Asian community. So it was, was driven by a sense of controlling our own narrative, but also exploring our own community and sharing it with the next generation so that we don't lose the heritage and the traditions that come from, you know, India and our ancestry.
So your main market is South Asians here. I did not know that.
No, well, not necessarily, but, you know.
But it's inspired by the background.
Yeah, so it was an exploration of the South Asian, historical, traditional, and, design aesthetic. So it's really driven by that, but the message is more so universal in the sense that, our mantra is exchange splendid cultures. And I kind of use that to drive the majority of our designs so that it's kind of an inclusive way of communicating a message that's very, may not necessarily get communicated because it is a minority group.
Could you say that message again?
My apologies. I didn't catch what you said there.
The message.
Oh, so the mantra, exchange splendid cultures, is essentially what I use to, design. Each piece is kind of exploratory to say, hey, for example, the hoodie I'm wearing, this says Piatka Cottage, which translates directly below, I'm not sure if you can see, but essentially translates into English, which translates to love costs. So, again, this collection was focused on communicating outside of our, immediate community, the South Asian community, but also kind of giving a little bit, tidbits of, what the experience is about. So, for example, this item is inspired by my trip to India last year, where I, studied truck art, which, I recognize was a dying art form. So I wanted to really tap in and showcase it in a way while it's still authentic to us, like few, and, our brand ethos, but at the same time, sustaining and reviving this beautiful art form in India.
Awesome. So it's more like the streetwear. Is that what you're trying to get at here?
Well, I think streetwear is definitely a label. I think I try to just, focus on, wearable clothes for sure. But
because the way I look at it, okay, you got the traditional Indian clothing, right? Which, Indian descent I am, but you won't catch me dead wearing any of that stuff. But the streetwear stuff, like what you have, I'll wear that all day long. you're bringing the culture into more than North Americans, right? That would not wear, like guys like me, I wouldn't wear any of that, the traditional stuff, but your stuff for sure.
Yeah, I recognize that, and I went through that, that growth in myself where I recognize it's not always practical to represent your community in the sense where you're wearing a pair of garments. And it almost becomes like a novelty for events like weddings and, you know, but I wanted to connect with, you know, with my ancestry in a way where I felt, you know, was not so novelty-esque, but also use that as a, you know, we have one of the richest cultures and, you know, so I'm still exploring how to communicate that design where, you know, does it justice, but at the same time is wearable to, you know, to our consumers.
The culture is huge. And it's growing all the time with Bollywood and with the food scene and music, like, you know, music and everything else. It's just, it's taken off, and, you know, guys like you are taken to another level. So that's thanks, definitely, man. Good. Not a problem. So
yeah, I appreciate that.
So are you guys retail? I'm assuming because of e-commerce. I know you guys are online sales, but is there a certain amount of clothing in retail, bricks and mortar, or what do you guys, where's the plan here?
Yes, you know, certainly I was like, you know, exploring a bunch of options, but, you know, what I recognize, again, being a foreigner to just the fashion community, you know, I recognize that in order to really focus on my perspective as well as, you know, our community, it's really hard when there's not a lot of platforms, brick and mortar platforms that are, you know, really carrying similar brands. So for now, I wanted to really focus on staying true to the brand and not, you know, being driven by a brick and mortar store to say, hey, what will sell here the most? So, you know, I think we've definitely considered it, you know, exploring, you know, various regions, like, of course, India, you know, North America, of course, and UK, and even Japan, actually, just because I think there's a true appreciation for, you know, conscious design. And I think that
they got a cool culture in Japan.
Pardon?
Japan is a very cool culture.
100%, man. I think, like, it's been a huge inspiration between the design code I even developed. I think there's just such an appreciation and recognition for, you know, whatever, like, I just feel there's a lot of passion, whatever the field is out there. So I've kind of used that as like a, you know, as a building block to kind of form my own perspective.
Got it. So Gagan, tell us more about yourself. What do you do with the e-commerce and the marketing and everything else? A little background of yourself as well.
Yeah. Well, I was before doing this, you know, I had some experience coordinating events. I've worked for a nonprofit. I've a lot of customer service experience, networking in real estate development. So working for a local company in Vancouver. Money was starting the launch of Ace Like Few, and at this point it was kind of just ideation. Like, we hadn't had a launch, there's no website. And I started taking some schooling. I went to UBC and graduated with my Bachelor of Arts, but afterwards I went back to school to Brain Station and did some courses in digital marketing and user experience design, and kind of learning all these things as we were starting the business. You know, it's really hard to kind of start your own business and you have a smaller team. And so I was like, okay, well, like, what can we do? What can we take over? You know, social media and e-commerce is a great way to do that for any people that want to start their own small business or startup, because they can really control their narrative. There's a lot of marketing you can do that's organic, and, you know, you don't need these like tens of thousands of budgets. And I was thinking too, one really big part of the marketing that I want to incorporate for Ace Like Few was doing some community events. So, you know, with money, especially connecting with the culture and expanding the idea of what Ace Like Few means, just seeing, you know, my parents, like, I grew up very multicultural. My mom, she's Chinese. My dad is East Indian. And I seen how, you know, two of my parents that were immigrants come here and build a business for themselves through connecting with their community. And sometimes that's not always, you know, there's a part of that that's online, there's part of it that's face to face. So money to the launch, you know, with our team that we had in June last year. And it went really well at the 5X Festival. There was so much organic connection and people just saying, oh, we've never seen this before. You know, so on top of, you know, organizing the social media and launching our website, I've been helping with coordinating the events. Unfortunately, we can't have any right now just due with COVID. But, you know, just sourcing, you know, good venues. You know, we really aren't making these events for profit. They're really more for just, you know, brand awareness and also for people to find a place where, you know, they feel at home and they really connect with and resonate with. Through this, you know, we met so many people. And, you know, for me, one of my really big goals is just connecting with our community, find ways to, you know, have, you know, that reputable influence in our community. It's not always just about making sales, although, you know, of course, that's really rewarding as well. But being able to have someone come up to us and be like, oh, like, this is like what represents me, I feel like, or, you know, I've met so many people through your platform or through your event or, you know, whatever it is.
For sure. That's a huge driving factor. I feel like just seeing that there's such a lack of representation. And so that was like definitely the most rewarding part. I think that's kind of what's like driving us at this point. So, you know, so to go back to when you were like, oh, you didn't know it was like a South Asian brand. It's not, I mean, it's part of our identity, right? So it has to be to some degree, but it's not limited to that. Just, I think the initial people that are going to connect with the message is likely going to be someone that doesn't see representation of themselves out there, except for, like, you know, through platforms like ourselves.
So, you know, you guys were talking about 5X. What is 5X?
So it's one of the largest North American South Asian festivals. And what it does is it showcases the artistry within our community, whether it's music, dance, fashion, art, and design. So it's a great platform to get exposure. And this year, due to COVID, it was canceled because it is a physical location previously. But what's interesting this year is that they're creating a virtual platform where essentially, if you follow our Select You page, you'll see a proper rollout in the coming days. But essentially, you know, we're going to be providing some unique content that's really putting a focus on, you know, DIY for, you know, those people that are in hibernation right now, or, you know, in isolation or what have you. So we're just kind of, you know, exploring a few different ways you can kind of be expressive through your own garments through natural dyes in that process. And 5X is essentially giving us a stage to showcase that and also make some readily available merch that's, exclusive to that platform.
Yeah, no, because I was checking out your website and I didn't like really go into detail into reading it, but I was looking at the events that you guys were throwing. I was looking at, like, sure, I've seen a lot of South Asians on the, in the event. Anyways, that event was amazing. Great work on it.
Thanks, man.
Yeah, no problem. Just looking at the brand awareness that you guys have, and you're right, you know, brand awareness and building your company around content is the key right now. And then the sales comes afterwards. You know, you definitely need sales to run a company and to make it profitable and pay bills and everything else. But, you know, it's hard to get that unless you have some type of brand. And what you guys are doing is just amazing.
Appreciate that, man. You know, it's definitely in our early stages, in the adolescent stage, but I think we're forming our perspective just because we have so much to say. And, you know, as long as we continue to get support, we'll hopefully continue to put on these events. I mean, once the pandemic stages are, you know, dialed down a bit, as you see they are now a bit, but we're definitely looking forward to continuing, you know, connecting with the community and expanding on it.
Let's talk more about that. What have you guys been doing here? So you know, we know events have been canceled. Are there more online events you guys are doing, or just less people coming around in the events that you currently have going on? Like, what's the step here? What's the change?
You know, it was, personally, I mean, I could speak on a little bit more on the design aspect, and I think Gagan can kind of tap into the marketing and like the community aspect. But I think for me, you know, again, I think it just really, even though we're in such an adolescent stage or in our in the label, I think that it was like a good opportunity to just reflect more and say, okay, you know, be more concise with what we have to say. And, you know, I keep analyzing whether it's, you know, if a design is even, you know, worthy of being put out there, because again, you know, it's, you know, we look at waste, like whether it's just material, you know, we really have a lot of sustainability element and we try to be conscious of that. So, you know, forming like, you know, I'm not sure if we can speak about the Khalsa Aid, like collaboration, but we're essentially, we've been trying to put focus on, you know, collaborating with nonprofits and humanitarian aids to really, you know, spread the message to a younger demographic. And say, hey, you know, if you're gonna wear some cool swag that you know you like the design of, you know, why not do it in a way where you're essentially promoting a message of, you know, not only just promoting a message, but also, you know, the proceeds would be allocated towards those causes. So we're still trying to sort that out, but that's part of like the transition here we're taking. So it's not just focusing on, you know, dyeing art forms like, you know, for example, natural dyes from India and you know, truck art was the last collection, which was like kind of the theme of it. So then, you know, the next collections that are coming down the pipeline are focused on worldly problems as well. You know, my background, I'm actually a mechanical engineer. And so, you know, I'm a problem solver. And I feel like, you know, I don't want to just put stuff out there that is just, you know, saying nothing or unconscious. So I think that's kind of been a focus of mine right now. And I think that it's actually, in some ways, it's, you know, it's, there's a silver lining for sure. Like, you know, I think that it's just challenging us to be more conscious of what we put out there and what's the messaging behind it.
What's, you said this a couple of times, what's truck art?
So truck art is essentially, you know, a South Asian regional form of, how do I explain this? So it's called Bufati, essentially, translates to truck art. It's, as you know, India is largely a transportation nation. So you have trucks going everywhere, you know.
All logistics, out. Like trucking, you mean like logistics?
So, you know, all these vehicles, essentially, to someone that doesn't know much about truck art, I can say that it's a South Asian form of decorative art that's communicated through their vehicles. So these drivers would spend weeks, sometimes months on the road. And so, you know, what they do is they have these hand-painted elements, whether it's like, you know, calligraphy, like, you know, poetic phrases or warding away bad omens. You know, there's a lot of elements that represent their home and their perspective. And essentially, you know, to me, I thought it was like very similar to what streetwear represented to me, which is like, you know, it represented who I am as an individual. So I really tried to, you know, expand on that in a sense where it was like translated into garments. So truck art essentially is like it's a folk art movement in yeah. India, and it's been dying over the years. But if you ever get a chance to travel to India, or even just Google truck art or Bufati, yeah. You'll see that there's a lot of vibrancy and beauty in this like decorative art. So I hope I explained it a bit. Like
yeah, no, I'll have to Google search. So I'm just looking at it as you know, companies in Vancouver like TELUS and Shaw, they'll have. Graphics on the vehicle, but this is more people doing it, and or also smaller brands doing it while they're driving across parts of India.
That's right. Yeah. So it's essentially like you know, it's all hand elements, and typically, you know, these guys spend all their money on just making sure that their vehicle represents them. So it's really interesting.
Gagan, as a marketing person, what do you think of that? That like straight up branding there
with the truck art?
Yeah,
well, in terms of the drivers that are sorry Do you mean in relation to Ace Like Fuse brand or people branding like their own trucks?
Just branding, just straight up, you know, obviously it's not going to be like Facebook and Google where you can see the demographic, where they come from, how long they're staying and blah, blah, blah. But just straight for branding in a place like India where there's a billion people.
Well, I think, you know, to have your own brand on there, I'm not sure how effective it would be from a marketing standpoint, but it is like a really effective way, I think, for people to tell their story. You know, it's a form of art. These truck drivers, they really treasure their transportation vehicles and, you know, being away from home. It's a way for them, you know, to feel connected to their home. It's a way for them to represent, you know, it could be their religion, it could be their culture, it could be, you know, something that they have spiritual belief in. And, you know, it tells a story. So it definitely resonated with us as a new brand, telling our story, telling, you know, trying to tell other people's story and trying to share that and connect with more people.
Yeah, it was really important for us to tap into, you know, as you mentioned, like, you know, not knowing truck art, and that's a very common thing. So, you know, I love that. Like, to me, this is exactly the reason why we did it. It's to open a dialogue about something that is so beautiful and it represents, you know, a large part of the art culture in India, but yet, you know, so many are unfamiliar outside of, you know, outside of the country. So I think, yeah, like that's kind of one of the driving factors as well. And it's like, dude, we're not like interested in giving generic perspectives of our own community, but more so tapping into some stuff that, you know, maybe we should put more on focus, because, you know, if we don't, it might die out. And, you know, and I think it's a really important part of our culture.
Yeah, as soon as I get off this phone, off this call, I'm gonna look up truck art and see what.
An article on truck art, and it's featured on one of our blog posts on our website.
Oh, is it? Okay.
And you can kind of understand like the story behind it, and why and how we incorporated, you know, a lot of the imagery, like the hand-painted elements. For example, you know, like having something like this hand-painted bird, and then the Hindi script. You know, those are the kind of things that you'll see on a lot of this truck art. A lot of the colors were inspired by it. So a lot of our branding and imagery, our events, you know, some of like our signage, just a lot of it's inspired from truck art.
So Mani, going from engineering to designing, like, you know, one's straight up numbers and the other one is straight creative. To me, those two things are, I'm a numbers guy. I'm not a creative guy. And I get so confused. Like, how did you, I don't know. Tell me about the process.
Yeah. You know what? I get that, you know, especially because in my field previously, you know, I didn't really connect with a lot of, you know, like outside of a professional relationship with my coworkers, I didn't really always feel like I fit in. And that was kind of a theme growing up out in Canada. I think, like, just generally speaking, there wasn't a lot of people that looked like me. But in terms of the design aspect, you know, I think that, you know, through engineering, I learned practical thinking and learned, you know, it wasn't just like on a technical aspect. Like, I tried to take on projects through my, you know, through my career. Like, I worked with Disney, Universal Studios, you know, and it allowed me to travel the globe. So I got to see a lot of other cultures. And I think I was able to collectively recognize, you know, I build an eye for something. Again, like, I think that's something innately what I've really been trying to nurture from infancy. And I think that kind of carried through my engineering career. But it actually gets to shine more through fashion and design and like for products and so forth.
Fair enough. What do people find you if they want to purchase some clothes? Sorry, first of all, is this unisex or is it male and female? Like, what or men only, female only?
man, we're super inclusive. Like, it's not even like gender bias, like everything. The way, awesome. Yeah, it really is like, you know, it doesn't matter. You know, Gagan's wearing, like, we wear like all the clothes is shared. Everyone, like, we see, like, it's basically unisex.
Like hoodies, you can change those around all the time.
Yeah, like, yeah, exactly. So I'd say, you know, it's, for now, most, I would say 99% of our stuff is unisex. Down the pipeline, maybe there might be some difference, but for now, that's kind of like,
yeah. Awesome. Where did they find you?
So they can find us at aselectfew_official. It's aselectfew_official on IG, or they can check us out at aselectfew.co.
Awesome. Yeah, we'll have all the links below on the podcast and also on the YouTube for them to get a hold of you, and we'll go from there. Any last words for anyone starting a business, either marketing business or clothing line? I'll let you both answer that one.
For sure. Do you want to go first?
Put on the spot.
My advice is, you know, just try to educate yourself and enjoy the process. It's going to be very difficult, a lot of long hours. You know, I would say try to build a team, you know, get your friends on board, get your family on board when you're starting out. Build connections, you know, connect with as many people as you can. You know, for us, that's been a huge benefit, and especially in the community, trying to connect with other people to kind of just have brand outreach and get more people on board. You know, there's definitely more power in numbers. And I think just don't be afraid to keep learning. Like, we're constantly learning and researching, and we kind of, our next step, I think, is trying to capture some of these moments of behind the scenes of, you know, starting a business. Like, what is that process like of, you know, going to the factories, of, you know, dyeing the products, you know, with natural dyes, or sourcing, you know, materials, or the design process, or even, you know, the brand outreach process, you know. There are so many things that I feel like we're learning on the go. And even for me, you know, starting the website, the e-commerce, I feel like if you have patience, you take your time, like, it's going to be something you're always going to try to improve on. You know, from our launch till now, we do, you know, you do so many testings and edits of, you know, your website, or, you know, your e-commerce or your social media, and you might have to, you know, start over and do it all over again, but you just can't be afraid to keep, you know, trying and trying to make it better and keep growing and just finding that momentum as well. Like, understanding for you as an owner or a creative, like, what really helps you go forward and, you know, keep motivated. For us, sometimes it's connecting with the people that, you know, around us, or celebrating our moments and looking back on it. And it kind of helps you say, wow, I did that. Like, I can do so much more this next year.
Good points. Awesome.
Yeah. 100%.
Yeah.
I mean, I would say, you know, I speak from an engineering perspective, like, you know, just got to put stuff out there, you know, a common phrase is in that, I think a lot of people have this issue, is where it's like, you know, paralysis by analysis. So I think just not being afraid to put yourself out there and recognizing that failure is part of the process. And then, you know, it really, I think, don't overthink things, you know, because you'll get better, you know, and things will, you know, it's a survival tactic. Like, you got to just look at longevity as opposed to every little issue, because there will always be a problem. So, you know, you just got to be wise about it.
Good point. Hang tight, guys. I'll end this call here, and let's just chat a little bit after.